Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now, your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
People, thank you so much for hanging on. You're listening to Blood River Radio. My name is Eddie the Bombardier Miller. I'm your host tonight. It is May the 30th, the year of our Lord 2020, year of our Lord Jesus Christ. And well, listen, here's what we've been doing, in case you're just tuning in. We have one of the greatest people I know living, the General Nick Glasnovic. In just a minute, I'm going to go ahead and get him to give his full bio in just a minute. We also have my brother, another great fellow, a lieutenant. He's a lieutenant in the Marines in Vietnam. These guys, you put together the combat experience they've had, and it's immeasurable. They have a wealth of information that we need to have them hand down, especially to the younger people that are probably going to be looking at some incredibly bad times. I predict a lot of these younger people will not be able to handle it. They will commit suicide. People know I was drafted. Even before I even got basic training, we had people committing suicide because they couldn't handle the dinky. If they couldn't handle basic training, how the hell are they going to handle what's coming down the pipe, full combat, what's coming down with our evil government? And we're just preparing in case for that happens. But General, before I go back, I'm going to ask you about some training manuals in a minute. Well, first of all, I'll ask that. Do you have any training manuals? Have you even written any? Did y'all use training manuals? So could you recommend any training manuals that people in our audience could maybe order online, could get to help them set up if they want to start trying to train to get together a constitutional legal militia?
Well, from my limited experience, I'm sure the lieutenant, the Vietnam veteran, he has his view of this. But I think many training manuals from they're a guideline. They're a guideline. They should be simple. I think you have your five paragraph field order. I think that's open source information. It basically lays out your troop leading procedures, but the simpler the better, because I think your situation, mission, execution. This is the bread and butter. I basically lived by this five paragraph field order. It helped me very much because it's the same bread and butter in every army. You have the same principles, I think, from here to South Africa. Simplicity in many operational manuals are too wordy. You can convince them as I say, always the simpler the better. I think, and this may help. I think marksmanship. But I had all my troops because we were confronted with mines. Mines were very, very widely used. Everyone had to know how to disarm mines and to plant mines. So we lost quite a few men to anti-personnel mines.
Yes, sir. Even a minefield with just one mine is a big minefield. Gene, would you like to add anything to what the general said? I think he made an excellent point. What few training manuals I ever read, I fully agree with the general. They were too wordy. Gene, would you know of any? How could people who, and the general earlier in the first hour mentioned he had to train the trainers. Gene, if you were to go about training the trainers, and according to what the general just told us, what would be your first step? What would be some of the first steps you would go about?
Echo what the general just said. You don't have to have a whole library full of training manuals. Individuals can look at history and look at what's going on in today in America and the riots and the intrusion of the government, the things that are coming up with these inoculations, the shutdowns of businesses, the things like that. And they're saying, well, what can we do about it? I'm only one person. I can't do anything. I'm not going to attack Washington. No. You don't have to do that, but be proficient so that you can protect yourself and your family. go to a gun range, or if you know somebody that lives out on a farm or has access to a farm where you can use a weapon, a pistol, a rifle, whatever it is, be proficient with that and be confident that you know how to use it, so that when the time comes, you're not fumbling with where the safety is on the weapon. You're not fumbling with where's my ammunition? How do I reload this thing? I've fired off six rounds, and now I don't know how to reload it, or I fired out a magazine. The more proficient you are with whatever you use, the better you're going to be. The more times you get out on a golf course and play golf, the better golfer you're going to be. The more times you drive a car, the better driver you're going to be. It's the same thing here. Be proficient at whatever you need to use. And he was talking about landmines. You know, I'm sure all of us know people that go out and metal detect for relics and things like that. Get with some of these people and let them at least show you how to operate a metal detector, something like that. You don't have to own one necessarily, but when you're put in a situation that you're going to have to clear an area to find any type of explosive device or any type of metal that's in there, at least know how to operate some of this equipment, whether it's a revolver, semi-automatic weapon, whatever you're going to use to defend yourself or clear an area, know what you're doing. That's the best training you can have, is that individual training to have confidence in whatever type of equipment you're going to use. And I think that's very important for just average citizens. Whether you're going to actually sign your name on a roster to join a militia unit or not, all of us need to be able to defend our community, our street, our home, when this thing really starts breaking apart. And I'll give an example. The other night, or I guess it was last night, in Minneapolis, the looters and the rioters and the thugs attacked a police station, and they just backed down and got out of the way and let them burn the police station down. But several years ago, when they had those riots in Los Angeles, the Rodney King riots or whatever you want to call them, the Koreans got on top of their buildings and defended their businesses. And when the rioters came there, they opened fire on them and just mowed them down out in the streets. And all of a sudden they decided, you know, we need to riot over in some other part of Los Angeles. And they turned around and left that area. So that wasn't an organized militia. It wasn't a military unit. It wasn't our local government. Those were citizens taking care of their businesses and their neighborhoods. And that I believe, is more important than anything else. Be proficient in your equipment that you use.
That's you know what, Gene, your first order, son, is to write a manual saying exactly what you just got to saying. Hey, I'm going to borrow the general's authority. That's a great advice. Absolutely. Let me ask both of you guys. Well, I ask the general first. General, in this country right here, you know, we're right here teetering on the edge of all out tyranny. Now, if we start, and it's something I've wanted to do this ever since I got this radio station going. We said we want to go from a virtual meeting house in this radio station to bringing people together on the air. Doggone, we got to go to commercial already. Hang on to your seats, people. I got to ask a general question. As soon as we come back from this this break, what general? We're talking about General Nick Glastovic and Lieutenant Gene Andrews. Be right back, people.
I'm Monica Schaefer from Canada, a former political prisoner. Here at Blood River Radio, we are not afraid to tell the truth and shame the devil. Our mission is to fight against white genocide. We do that by exposing the lies. We talk about the American Civil War. We talk about the vilification of German people and, by extension, all white people. And we even talk about that linchpin lie, the Holocaust. Deception by the alien enemy within has brought us whites to our knees. My last words at the Schaefer's speech crime trial in Germany were, quote, "If there was a law forbidding us to breathe, we would break that law immediately just to live. And so it is with this law. We must break this law in order to survive and thrive as a people," unquote. Please donate to Blood River Radio and help keep us on the air.
I'm Michael Hill, President of the League of the South. I and my compatriots are Southern Nationalists. We seek the survival, well-being, and independence of the Southern people, our people. The League wants a South that enjoys the sweet fruits of Christian liberty and prosperity, but our current situation won't allow it. We must have our independence from Washington, D.C. and the globalists. The present system cannot be reformed. Without independence, we will continue down this path of destruction. To us, this is not acceptable. I'm asking you, Southern man and woman, to join us today to free the South. Call us at 256-757-6789 or see our website at www.leagueofthesouth.com. God save the South.
Hey, this is Matt from Blood River Radio. Blood River Radio is your voice to save our land, our people, and our future. We propose Christian solutions to an anti-Christian assault on our bloodlines. We love what we do, but we cannot do it without your help. The annual operating cost of Blood River Radio is more than even a team of people should bear alone. With your donation, we can take the fight to our enemies and hold our own people accountable for their treachery against us. Please go to our website, www.bloodriverradio.com, and find a way to help us that is suitable for you. We are thankful for any cash, check, or money orders we get. We also appreciate your correspondence or letters of encouragement. Once again, please help, and thank you for joining the fight.
Well, people, we're right back. And where are we right back at? We're right back here at Blood River Radio, bringing you some practical solutions, offering up solutions. Like I said earlier in the show, we don't want to just sit here and moan and groan and like a typical radio show and name this is a litany of problems and, you know, why we can't do anything about it. Well, you know what? You can do something about it. And you know what? You damn better do something about it, unless you want to wind up in slavery. I, for instance, I don't care. I'm 73 damn years old. You know, if I have to fight to the death, so be it. I don't care, man. But, you know, I don't want my grandson, my great-grandson, my great-grandson, my daughters. Jean has kids. The general probably does. We don't want them to have to suffer under a Bolshevik, Luciferian, all-out tyrannical government. We don't want that to happen. And that's what's coming, people. And we're trying to help you a little bit as best we can. We're a small radio show. Me, Gene, the General, we're three people, but we're doing the best we can to help you get ready. And General, before I forget any further, will you give us a brief bio? I want these people to know just who we got on this radio show. General, would you tell the people a brief, your brief bio, especially having to do with your military experience?
Well, could you pass that by me again, Eddie? I'm not sure of the question.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Give the people, tell us about your career, what all it entailed. You know, I know you served in the Canadian Army, et cetera, et cetera. Tell the people about your career, well, is you know, the time family, you spent in the...
Yeah, my family escaped from the communists. My father left in 54. They were going to draft him into an army, which was not his army. He was Croatian. He was wanted no part of Yugoslav communist army. So he escaped across the border, and when I was born, I had 6 months, and he ended up in Buffalo, New York. But he died fairly young, so I never met him. But me and my brother were twins. And my grandfather, after 10 years in a communist jail, he was released. But after 10 years, he lost his citizen's rights. He could not work. But he was an officer in the Austro-Hungarian Army. He spoke French, Italian, and German. But they didn't want these people. So he basically had no choice. All our property was confiscated. So he also escaped in 1958. He spent 2 years in a camp in Italy, a refugee camp. Eventually, got sponsorship to Canada, and we joined him in 1962 when I was 8 years old. So when the war started here, I knew more or less what was going to happen. When I saw a tank burning in Slovenia, we came back from the Gulf, Slovenia was one of the republics, Yugoslav republics. I knew the country was going to fall apart, so I returned, me and my brother, basically. But before that, I was in the Canadian Army for 5 years. Actually, my first was I was in a 44th Field Squadron of the Royal Canadian Engineers. It was like a militia unit. That was my first. I was 18. That was my first experience of military in a military organization. I was in a Prince of Patricia's Canadian Light Infantry. I was in a weapons platoon, recce platoon, and I was in a battalion, an infantry battalion. I was there for 5 years. Left. Then I joined. I also worked in correction services for the federal government in Canada. Then I went to France, and some of me and a friend joined the more or less out of on a bet. We joined the French Foreign Legion. And soon after our basic training was over, we ended up in the Gulf during the first Gulf War. We came back, and the war broke out in Croatia. So I had to make a choice, my country. So me and some other legionnaires returned. I mean, 27 legionnaires died in the fighting in Croatia. And four generals that came from the, actually four legionnaires eventually became generals in the Croatian army, and I was one of them.
Yes, sir. You know, it's my estimation that the French Foreign Legions, they're legendary for their military prowess. Is that true, General? How would you rate their military regiments as far as training, preparation, physical fitness, discipline, etc.? Are they as good as I've heard?
Well, they say it's the last bastion of the old school of soldiering. You know, they give you a black. Now the advent is a lot more. Well, I joined in 1989. But the admin procedures are now, of course, are they're basically the same. You first have the first two weeks you do psych. They basically weed out. It's a selection, but it's basically tests, cognitive testing, psychological testing, and then when you pass that filter, then you go to 4 month basic training, and after 4 month basic training, you go to regiment, and then you continue with your training. Depending on the how do they say it in the American Army?
MOS.
What are your mortars?
Military occupational.
Yes, yeah. So yeah, the basically. But I think the Canadian Army was pretty tough when I was in, because we did training. That one training exercise was -56 below zero. So to function in that sort of environment. Yeah, it was Central Canada. And the Army, Canadian Army, the Norwegians are also good at it. It's also in the Arctic. So Canadian Army is fairly proficient at winter warfare. But I've been at plus 45 degrees to minus 56. So they always say there's no bad weather, only bad equipment. I think that's true.
Wow. I tell you what, thank God I wasn't there. Thank God I wasn't in Korea where it got 30, 40 below zero in the Korean War when the Army
Marine Division there, I believe, was the first Marine Division.
Yes, sir. The first Marine Division
was Chesty Puller. I read a lot about Chesty Puller when I was a kid.
First Marine Division was up at the Chosin Reservoir. That's where General Chesty Puller was. You're right.
Yes, sir. He was up. We're going to call Gene Chesty Gene. But, you know, also the 7th, I think the – Yeah, yes, I'll tell you what, you're cut out of that same cloth, Gene. The 7th Infantry Division up there got totally wiped out, I think it was. It was one of my dad's old divisions in the Pacific, if I remember right. He was in several outfits, you know. But, you know, thank you so much for that, General, for your bio. I want people to know we don't just have, you know, any old shade tree mechanic on here, so to speak. We have people that know what they're talking about. Now, I got to ask this quick question. Gene, you may know more about this than the general. I don't know, because the general probably had no way. I would think the general was probably not concerned with keeping the members in his army, the volunteers, secret to the deep state apparatchiks. Gene, if we were to organize, Blood River Radio, I don't want to get anybody involved other than myself. You know, I don't want to put anybody in danger. If we were to start organizing a constitutional militia that's strictly legal, to train for emergencies, and we could even volunteer our services to the local sheriff as a backup, you know, auxiliary officers, auxiliary posse, so to speak, like in the old days. I would think we would not want a formal membership with people signing their names. We wouldn't want to stay as secret as we could probably to keep from getting that that knock, that midnight knock in the dark from the black ops. What do you think about that, Gene?
Do
you have anything to say about that?
It wouldn't just be the black ops in the government. It would be the news media. You know, what do they call that? Doxing, where they put people's names and addresses out. If they're conservative, if they're pro-Southern, if they're Christians, and they try to put their name out there and let all the Antifa or Antifa, whatever you want to call them, the communist crazies, go after them then. And you and I have both been to a lot of conservative conferences where you pretty much have to run a gauntlet of these people just to try to get to the meeting hall. So, yeah, you're right. You don't want to put the names out there. But just like we were saying earlier before the break, and don't badmouth the breaks now, Eddie, because that's what pays for the show.
You're absolutely well. Speaking of which, we have to go get some more money for the show, folks. Be right back. We just ran out of money. We got to go get some more. Hang on. Be right back.
Across the land, you're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Rescheduled from Wednesday because of bad weather, tomorrow NASA and SpaceX will have another try at sending the first astronaut crew from American soil into space in nearly a decade. And NASA Chief Jim Bridenstine says,
"There will be no pressure. We will launch when we are ready. And I'll tell you, the president and the vice president were proud of the NASA team and the SpaceX team for making the right call for the right reasons."
Referring to that Wednesday decision to scrub the launch when a tropical storm was off the coast, now the two astronauts Bob Behnken and Doug Hurley are set to lift off aboard the SpaceX Crew Dragon capsule tomorrow at 3:22 p.m. Eastern Time. It was a third night of riots and chaos in Minneapolis, including a police station being set on fire by protesters angry after an unarmed black man died in police custody earlier this week. And this is USA Radio News.
Balance of nature, changing the world one life at a time.
I haven't gotten a cold in 2.5 years. My wife can't argue with my track record because she's seen me not get sick. My daughter got sick over Christmas. My wife got it about 3 days after she left. I went through both of them, didn't get sick. I tell people I like to think my immune system is armored up and I'm able to repel these simple, stupid colds. And if it isn't that, then what is it? Because I'd get at least a couple colds a year. And what has changed in the last 2.5 years? The only thing I can think of is I'm taking my fruits and vegetables, you know, the balance of nature.
Experience the balance of nature difference for yourself. Right now, Balance of Nature is offering free shipping and 35% off on any new preferred order. Start your journey to better health today by calling 1-800-246-8751 or by going to balanceofnature.com. And make sure to receive this special radio offer by using discount code USA.
Americans' personal income and personal spending fell more in April than analysts were expecting. Government figures out this morning showing personal income down 10.5% last month. Personal spending dropped by 13.6%. Experts had forecast a 6.6% drop in income and an 11.4% decline in spending. The figures for April showing how the coronavirus and shutdowns are taking bigger and bigger bites out of the U.S. economy. Double-check what you might believe at first is junk mail in your mailbox. It seems some people are mistaking their stimulus payment for junk and throwing it out. It's in a plain white envelope, and there are no federal markings on the exterior. It only says Money Network Cardholder Services. There's also no check inside. The IRS sending out prepaid debit cards instead. Nearly 4 million of them were mailed last week, according to the agency. This is USA Radio News.
The Bienes is a 44 Magnum, the most powerful handgun in the world, and would blow your head clean off. You've got to ask yourself one question. Do I feel lucky?
Well, people, we're returning right now to where is right now? It is right here, May the 30th, in the year of our Lord 2020, and we have the great General Nick Glasnick on. We also have Lieutenant Gene Andrews on, and he's not just helping me, I'm helping him. He's toting the heavy load for me tonight. Guys, you know, General, we were talking about, you know, being busted by the media here in the United States, the Zio media here in the United States. They despise Christians. They despise freedom, liberty. They hate everything about white Christian men. I mean, they hate us with a satanic hatred. But General, did you have any problems when you were organizing the army in Croatia for Croatia's War of Independence? How much trouble did you have with spies, people trying to infiltrate into your organization, and how did you guard against that, and what countermeasures did you use, et cetera?
Very good point. I think the lieutenant also made. I think your first. I'm looking at the situation. We had a civil. It started out as a civil war, but it was aggression against one country against another. But basically, when I came to Croatia, the main city, we still had federal army units in the city. We had the Air Force headquarters, barracks, and some barracks we encircled, as I said. As I mentioned before, we basically blasted a hole in the wall, made a breach, and went in. And we took weapons. But operational security, these shills, Trojan horse, they will try to set you up. For example, there was a bogus weapon, just to shorten the story a bit. From Hungary, we were going to get weapons, Kalashnikovs, automatic rifles from Hungary. But it was a government, federal government set up. There was a television in the room, and they filmed this discussion between a Croatian officer and these people that were going to smuggle the weapons. But it was a setup. And the next day, they just showed on the enemy's television. They said they're getting ready for a civil war. So it was a setup. So when we went into an operation, nobody knew to the last second. Nobody knew where we were going. Nobody. So everything was held off to the very last, till the last minute. Then we would find out en route, so they couldn't be intercepted. So we basically had to do security checks on every soldier in the units. Basically, ethnic, of course, ethnicity, family history, whether they were communist pedigree or not. So this is a very important thing. And I think another thing to remember is you have multiple threats, the way I see it, in the United States and globally. You have a threat against the family as a normal unit, which every civilized nation depends on, a family unit between men and women. We had a referendum here in Croatia, and we decided that marriage is between a man and a woman, not between sodomite and sodomite. Two, you have a threat against private property, which we see now in Indianapolis. You have a threat against the Christianity, the foundations of Christian Europe. That's under attack in the schools and universities. So basically, I'm glad you mentioned the South Koreans, and I think the lieutenant has experience with the Republic of Korea troops in Vietnam. The rock soldiers, they did their job. But mouth is important. We have a lot of street fighting. So preparing a house for defense would also be, a very good lesson for some people.
You wrote that last statement, by the way. Just the last statement you said, General, maybe it was just me, I didn't hear it too good, something about preparing a house for defense. Run that one more time.
Preparing a house, we did a lot of fighting on urban terrain.
Oh, yes, sir.
It was across one street to the other street. So I think we prepared houses for defense. So that would also be, I mean, if push comes to shove, you may have battles in urban areas. So
yes, sir.
You're soldiers, so I don't have to tell you how that goes, basically.
Yes, sir. Gene, would you like to add anything? Go ahead, General.
No, the General is absolutely right there on that. You better learn how to fight in urban areas, because where are most or who controls most of our urban areas in the United States? All you got to do is look at Minneapolis and see what's going on there. Same thing, you know what we're talking about in Memphis, certain parts of Nashville as well in our own state here. So that's a very important point right there, is know how to defend your home and what supplies do you need at home. And we're not saying you don't have to put on a uniform, you don't have to march down the street and have a flag with your militia symbol on your flag, but just be smart and prepare for the worst-case scenario. Have water at your home, have canned food and things that that are going to last. And you don't know when your neighborhood's going to be shut down. You don't know when the power grid's going down, anything like that. So you have to be prepared. You don't want to go into a panic. If the power grid is shut down, fine. I've got plenty of firewood. I can cook over an open fire. I've practiced. I've done that before. I can take care of that. I've got all the ammunition here I need. And these inner cities that you're talking about and urban areas, they're the ones that are going to be coming out into the suburbs and trying to take whatever you've got. And it's exactly what happened in South Africa. That government of that country's falling apart. So now they want to turn on the white people out in the farms and the rural areas and go after them and take what they've got. So the general made an excellent point there. Those are the things that you need to train for. You can do it on your own. You don't have to have somebody to tell you how to do it. You can do your own self-preparedness and be ready for whatever happens like that.
Yes, sir. Besides the beans, Band-Aids, boots, and bullets, I would tell people, in my case, as people getting older, people probably know this. You also want, if it's possible, to give you a store of medicine. And, for instance, I have a hypertension, have this growth on my left kidney. You know, you're not going to be able to get to the drugstore. So it would behoove you if you get, hell, even a year's supply, if you, like in my case, 2-3 years supply of medicine, if possible. You can put that in the deep freeze. Well, if the deep freeze goes out, if the power is destroyed, you're probably not going to have to worry about medicine much longer anyway. But getting back to you, General, it was tough. I'm sure the logistics. I heard a Marine colonel once to say, he said, amateurs practice tactics, professionals practice logistics.
Logistics.
And a former logistics colonel, general, excuse me, you didn't get demoted. How did you put your logistics operation into effect as far as your beans, Band-Aids, bullets, and water? I mean, water, I mean, you have to have water. You can go for days without food, but how did you institute that, General? I know you couldn't do it all. He had to have other officers doing that, but
true.
Take off on that, if you will.
A phrase comes to mind when the war broke out in Bosnia-Herzegovina, the neighborhood country, when the system totally fell apart, when the total polarization between the Croatians, Serbs, and the Muslims, he said that the power of the emperor stops at the village gates. So it was basically every community for themselves. But we sent training teams from Croatia to Bosnia to train the Croatian minority. And the Croatian municipalities, they were only 18% of the population, but we trained and armed well before that, even though the territorial defense, your militia was disarmed by the Serbian army, by the federal army. We started to rearm. We had sort of an advantage because the border was open. So the community would kick in. Germany was close by. So we got the Croatian diaspora. We had 500,000 Croatians in Germany. They sent foodstuffs, medicine, and it filtered down to our communities in Bosnia. Of course, central Bosnia was, Croatians in Bosnia fought a civil war against the Muslims, against the Mujahideen there. I think they were encircled for over almost 250 days, and it was a fight for survival. It was basically biological survival, because they were outnumbered, some places 10 to 1. But they defended their families, and it was a brutal war. We had almost 2,500 soldiers were killed, minus the civilians.
Wow, General, you mentioned the Mujahideen. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I think our wonderful precious United States government, a government, the Sodom and the Potomac. They, people call it Washington, D.C. I call it Sodom and Gomorrah on the Potomac. It's my understanding that they, the United States government, special forces, the military, organized and trained the Mujahideen in, I think, probably Afghanistan back in the 70s when they were fighting the Soviets, fighting the Russians.
Yeah.
And so, if that being true, you see how evil this government here is in the United States. Am I right there, General? Do you know anything about that? Well, are we going to another break? How about that? General, we'll come right back to you. This will be our last break, people. We're coming right back to the General. He's going to answer that question. Be right back, folks.
Okay, listen up, people. I'm beating the bushes for a few good men. I don't want you boys the alt-right. I want the hardcore of the hard right. And I need you front and center, boots on the ground, at a minute's notice, in the streets, and I need your money. You know the problem that the whites of the world face. It's the all-too-real threat of global extermination. And you know what's going on in South Africa and Western Europe. And unless you're semi-comatose, you've already seen the first stages of white genocide unfolding in our country. Our culture is under constant full-scale attack by our enemy. The enemy never sleeps. They spend day and night wrecking the monuments and the graves of our beloved kin. They attack us physically everywhere we go. They've already taken the linen and our stone. Now they're coming after our flesh. And if you're not too squeamish, if you want to be part of the number one white advocacy group and the number one white civil defense group in the United States, then contact Eddie Bombardier Miller at BloodRiverRadio.com. And please, please donate. And God knows you need us as much as we need you. Thank you.
Blood River Radio is the only news media in the United States whose sole purpose of being is to fight against the ever-rising tide of global white genocide, both soft and hard genocide, whether it is in the form of ethnic cleansing via the current massive invasion of non-white, non-Christian hordes that are overwhelming the once all-white nations of Western Europe, the United Kingdom, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, and the United States, or via the hard genocide in South Africa, where the rape, murder, and torture of whites is an ongoing daily occurrence. Though we are a Christian brotherhood, we will cooperate with other groups in our operations if it will shorten our people's casualty list. We further pledge to you to leave the radio studio at every opportunity and take it to our churches, to our universities, and most importantly, we promise to occupy the streets. However, none of our mission can succeed without funding. Please help us all that you can and donate to our cause by going to www.bloodriverradio.com.
Hello, friends. This is Jacob from Blood River Radio. We call the kings into account and tell the truth to shame the devil on this show every week because we are of the firm conviction that our cause cannot succeed without true revival amongst the remnant, amongst that principled minority of the dispossessed majority. Now is the time to stand and be counted, to do like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who would not bow down to the false idols of their day, even under pain of death, like the 300 mighty men of valor who surrounded the Midianites with Gideon, or the 7,000 men that God told the prophet Elijah had not bowed their knees to Baal in a time when even calling fire down from heaven would not awaken our kinsmen from their slumber. If you are encouraged by our labors in the trenches for the kingdom and the cause of truth, liberty, and righteousness, I urge you to consider supporting this program. No donation is too small. We can do with thousands or even hundreds what our enemies and the powers and the principalities of this present darkness need tens of millions to do. So please donate today at BloodRiverRadio.com and help us take up the hedge and stand in the gap against the great evils of our time.
Well, people, we'll be right back. Unfortunately, this will be our last segment of this two-hour show. We have been thoroughly blessed with the great General Nikolas Glasnovic from Croatia. He has fought all over the world, three different armies, four different armies, you know, Canadian Army, French Foreign Legion, fought for his own nation, his nation's War of Independence. You know, me and Gene aren't exactly young guys anymore. We may be forced to fight for our war of independence in this nation right here, the way things are going. You know, I just heard on the break earlier, like we've been talking, and this is kind of an aside, The United States economy has just been totally decimated by the so-called coronavirus. What they do, it's kind of like the government comes out to your house and they put dynamite and gasoline around your house and they blow it up and they say, well, Acme matchmaking company destroyed the houses. They destroyed the economy. You know, it's not the stinking virus that shut the country down. It's the stinking government of the United States that said, we have so many of these people's jobs. Your jobs, your livelihood is not essential. But we have the liquor stores open. We have Bass Pro open. These big, gigantic, you know, globalist, multi-globalist countries like Walmart open. But mom and pop can't stay open. That's just an aside to tell you people, that's why you need to get ready. Because if you think this is bad, with like a third of the people being laid off in the country right now, we're going to be on the brink of starvation soon. And with that little aside, I'm going to go back to the general. General, it was a two-part question. Was the Mujahideen, am I right, the United States government organized them, special forces? I think the former Lieutenant Colonel James Bo Greitz helped organize that. And second part of that question, did the United States help or hinder you and your countrymen in your war of independence, or were they neutral? Two-part question, General.
Well, the first part is actually bin Laden had safe houses in Croatia. He didn't find himself till after the war. The way they came into the country, into Bosnia, to fight with the other Mujahideen for North Africa and Saudi Arabia, they infiltrated in Mohammed, which is their version of the Red Cross. They came in as humanitarian. But as far as I know, the American soldiers that were former soldiers came, they fought with us against this the Mujahideen. But also, it's interesting that the United States in Tuzla Airport, which was the Muslim part of the country, that they actually opened an air corridor for Iran to send weapons to the Muslims. But so this was after we signed, a ceasefire with the Muslims. They opened an air corridor. Tuzla Airport, the town of Tuzla in central Bosnia, Iran pumped weapons into to arm the Muslim component. That was the first part of the question, I believe. The second, lost me there. I hope that German hasn't come to visit Alzheimer, but I think that I'll try to answer your question if you repeat it again, Ed.
Oh, yes, sir. I was going to ask. I think you kind of halfway answered it then. Did the United States help give any assistance officially, not just individual soldiers, like you mentioned,
we learned later, but after the war was over, they tried to form this federation, which exists today, a Muslim, a Croatian Muslim component, the Federation of Bosnia Herzegovina, which has a Croatian Christian component, but that's not working out too well. Again, a clash of civilizations, and East is East and West is West. We're under the same threat we were in 1991. So Turkey actually has a very big influence. As you know, the Turks were stopped at Vienna. We waged a war with them for four centuries. It seesawed back and forth. You have 3.5 million Turks in Germany. And even Angela Merkel, who's a former communist youth member, said multiculturalism is dead. So I think, before I forget, I think my vision of the United States, when the downfall started, first, the nation soul is deliberately destroyed by rot, which is by social engineering, cultural Marxism. And I think as soon as the Frankfurt School relocated from the Soviet Union to the United States, into American university schools, what we see today is the end result of that rot. That's my opinion, of course. I could be wrong, but that's how I see this. We had the same thing has happened in Europe. This is only a continuation of something that started in 1917 during the Russian Revolution.
Yes, sir. You know, before I go to Gene, you mentioned 1917, the Russian Revolution. I think, if I'm not mistaken, the predominant, just about all Jewish, the Cheka, the NKV, all these Soviet secret police, terrorist organizations like the I guess it morphed into the KGB, but they said when they went into, for instance, into Ukraine, they wanted to stamp out as many Ukrainians as possible, starve them to death, shoot them, whatever, and they wanted to bring other nationalities in there to totally stamp out any vestige of Ukraine, a sense of Ukrainian independence. Now, Gene, I'm going to go to you. Gene knows full well how many, in general, you mentioned the Muslims, how you fought the Muslims. Gene, how many Muslims do you think we have here in the United States today, and how many cells do you think they have that they're waiting for the balloon to go up, Gene?
You know, they're all over the country. In every one of our major cities they are. And the general mentioned something that's absolutely right. He's talking about that Frankfurt School in Germany. It got kicked out of Germany by Chancellor Hitler in Germany, and they because they were Jewish and they were Bolsheviks, and they were going to destroy Germany. And he was smart enough to kick them out. They wound up in New York at Columbia University, and then another branch went to the left coast for University of California at Berkeley. And they admitted their long march through the institutions is to take over academia and train the young people that socialism and communism is the way to go, take over the news media so you only get one side of the story, take over the entertainment industry, and eventually take over the government, and that's what they're doing. And the general is 100% correct on that, and he's seen it firsthand on the ground. And we can't get the people in this country to wake up and see what's happening to them. And I think by the time the
Pooler,
majority...
Yeah.
Go ahead, sir.
Sorry to interrupt. I think we have to know the enemy. You have a fellow called Saul Alinsky, who's also of Jewish prominence. He wrote a book called Rules for Radicals, which today is a tactical aid memoir for these anti-fa or degenerates. Correct me if I'm wrong, I think Bernie Sanders was affiliated with the Trotskyite Socialist Workers Party.
Yes, sir.
Yes, he was.
Correct me if I'm wrong.
Yes, he was. And also, General, Bernie Sanders was in a kibbutz. He spent his time in a Jewish kibbutz in Israel. You know, he's a good Jew, of course. Not only was he just in a kibbutz, the name of his particular little tribe in Israel, the kibbutz, was something like the Karl Marx Trotsky tribe. And you know, when he was a senator, and Gene probably knows more about this than I do, from Vermont or Maine, wherever it was, one of these northern Yankee school states, he had a communist flag, the red flag with the yellow arm and sickle on his desk. He displayed it prominently. You're 100% right, General. Back to you, Gene. Another question. Are we going to see when the upheaval that it's not just coming? I think it's the beginning has already started, the upheaval in this country. Are we going to see, do we have a lot of Muslim sleeper cells here, Gene, or am I being paranoid?
No, I think they are, and they admit it. And you know, it's just like the general said, east is east and west is west. You can't compromise with people that say it's okay to kill an infidel, and we as Christians are infidels. So if they're going to kill us, how do you compromise with people like that? I mean, where is the common ground? And they say, well, they're here, they're working,
you know,
they're
people,
doing this.
Yeah.
You know, they're working, they're sucking all the money out of the country that they can get, and using our laws of free speech and freedom of association to entrench themselves into this country. And you know, that's their militia. Their militia is here, and their militia is active, and their militia is very well organized. And, you know, they have one or two that break out and shoot somebody at a naval air station down in Pensacola or Texas or somewhere like that.
Yeah, but, Fort Hood.
Yeah, they're Fort Hood. But there's no telling how many of those are, like you said, getting ready to go. So,
absolutely. Guys, we are just about almost out of time. We'll hear the balloon go up any second. I would like to thank you, General, from the bottom of my heart for coming on. I would love to get you on again. I don't know if we can tape it again. Sam has been, we might be able to get him to tape it in the future. I don't know, because I know you, I hate to keeping you up so late at night. Gene, would you like to make a closing, General, would you like to make a closing comment before we go to the, before we're out for the night?
Well, thanks for having me, for listening to my monologues, for tolerating my monologues. And first of all, if you lose the First Amendment, free speech, that's the beginning of the end. hang on in there and watch out for destruction and dualism, moral relativism. The terror of the minority, God bless you all, and put on God's armor. I wish you the best.
God bless you. Dual Svelte, if I said that right, General. Yes. Gene, thank you so much. General, thank you so much. Sam, thank you. Good night, beloved audience. I hope you got some good out of this, and I hope you can not just listen to this practical advice, but start putting some of it into practice and exercising it. Because if you wait till it starts, till the balloon goes up, it's going to be too late. Well, good night, everybody. We'll see you hopefully next week. We'll be League of the South week. Good night.